Midnight on the Celestial by Julia Alexandra, read by Leela Basuk. Prelude. We are swept into a sea of dancers, the desperation and terror that has become our daily uniform buried in the tide of one night of freedom. The faces of the people I've come to know, to care and fight for, warm me like the rush of my magic. "How can you dance when everyone's watching?" he says, bending down to my ear. An unbidden wave of heat prickles along my skin at how close his mouth is to my cheek. So the performer gets stage fright off stage. "Pretend you're on stage. You can criticize my foot placement to make it feel more real for you." "Very funny." I twirl myself under his arm, pressing close to his chest. He may be all sure of himself with the guests, but around me, he's shy. There's something frustratingly attractive about that. The truth is, once he finds the courage to dance with me, he's much better than he knows. The muscles of his arms and the effortless flexibility of his legs and spine outpace my stiffer movements I learned from formal dancing at our estate's balls. He whirls me around the dance floor and makes it feel like we're flying. For a moment, I swear we are. Until I hear the screams. Chapter 1. Father hosts a yearly soiree where I summon every dead person in the province. The festivities flood the ballroom of Father's grand estate, and I'm the party trick. Even now, as I stare out from the dais over the mass of guests in their finery, I wonder how many more spirits I have left to bring back. 20? Maybe 30, if some of our guests expect both grandparents? I look forward to this all year, but I'm also starving. Father's servants have pulled out all the stops, as they often do. The rich mahogany floors of DeMarcus' estate gleam like a mirror's surface. Gold chandeliers hang from the arched wooden rafters, lighting the banquet table. A maroon tablecloth stretches under the weight of platters of roast chicken, decanters of wine I'm not allowed to drink when Mother's looking, and towering trays of chocolate truffles filled with raspberry sauce. Those are my favorites, though I doubt I'll get any before midnight. The line to the dais is almost out the door. I crane my neck, surveying the guests crammed in front. A forced smile tugs at my lips, and I smooth the front of my dress to mask my twitching fingers. I wasn't expecting this many people. Mother places her hand on my arm, digging gold nails into my skin. "Rosaline, take Lady Sandrilyn's hand." My lips purse at Mother's clipped tone and her insistence on using my full name for the evening. But one look from Father's scrutinizing brown eyes and lowering bushy brows assures me now is not the time to argue with her. It's an important night for the DeMarcus family. I know that better than anyone. Lady Sandrilyn stands on the step below me and reaches out to grasp my hand. My insides writhe when I think of her clammy palm in mine, but the momentary repulsion is necessary. I close my eyes, arms steady as our fingers clasp. The electric spark of her life flows from her veins to mine. Her hand trembles with the fear and awe trapped beneath her skin. The dizzying exhilaration of summoning takes over me. Heat builds in my fingertips and races up my arms. The comforting warmth gathers in my chest, expanding with each breath I take. Nothing feels better than this. "Who do you want to see?" My words come out soft, but sudden nerves flutter in my stomach like caged fireflies. Where is this coming from? I'm never nervous. Then again, this could be my last resurrection ball. Pushing the thought as far down as it will go, I open my eyes to look at Lady Sandrilyn. Father tells me this puts non-morphics at ease.
"Let them look in your eyes and see that you appear human before showing them you're not," he often says.
"I want to see my father," Lady Sandrilyn murmurs, a whispered secret between the two of us. He died last year. She swallows hard.
"I'm sorry, I've never done this before. Should I tell you what he looks like?"
"No need." The bonds between family are stronger than with any other deceased spirits. Without warning, my eyes drift to the family portrait on the far wall across from the dais. It stretches from ceiling to floor. My gaze lingers there. Easy to bring back family members as long as they're not mine. My palm heats, itching with the energy of Lady Sandrilyn's life force. I dig deeper and search through every